Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. Proverbs, chapter 12. If you hold your Bible and try to go right in the center, you're probably going to land somewhere around Psalms or Proverbs there. Proverbs, chapter 12. Now, there is a handout tonight that has a lot of blanks. Don't get nervous about that. I think we're going to get through it pretty quick. How many of you have ever heard of a shotgun message, right? That has a lot, right? Try to hit everything at once, amen? Well, that's not quite what this is, but as far as this topic, I'm trying to hit as much as I can concerning this topic. And I remember when I was in high school, I used to wrestle. How many played sports in high school? Okay. And I remember before the match, you know, we would go out and we'd face our opponent on the mat. We'd go out and shake hands and so forth, and we'd go back. And up until your weight class was to wrestle, of course, you just were kind of like a caged lion, you know. You're just ready to roll because you know the match is coming. Now, I wrestled lightweight, believe it or not. In ninth grade, I wrestled, believe it or not, 91 pounds. And amen. And then in my sophomore year, I wrestled 101 and 105, went up to 108. And then I started to grow. My junior, senior year ended up at 122. But I say all that to say this. I get that feeling of a match right before I preach. You know, you're just ready to roll and get out there and do it. Amen. So that flashback hit me, you know. They didn't put any things under my nose, though, to smell. At least tonight I didn't come out here. Maybe I should have, the way I'm sounding, but... Anyway, Proverbs chapter 12 tonight. I hope this is going to be a help to you this evening. It's a simple, simple topic, but important topic. Notice Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Go down to verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Almost the same thought in both of those verses, but dealing with two particular people on both sides of both ends of the spectrum. And we're going to look at one of those tonight, that verse 24, the hand of the diligent. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. I pray tonight, as I preach your word, that you would please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. May your word go forth this evening with power and clarity. Lord, it's a joy to be in your house tonight. We know that even in this midweek time, we need something from you through the preaching of your word. So equip us tonight as we go back into the mission field, even after this service and tomorrow, that would help us now. Again, may your word have free course. I do pray if there's someone lost here tonight that they would get saved. And for those of us that are saved, you'd challenge us in this very, very important area of life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in 2007, there was an ecologist by the name of John Tye. And he was doing, there was a project that he had been working on. And he was scanning the wilderness of Alberta, Canada with Google Earth for this project. And he noticed something there that caught his attention. And what he discovered in 2007... was at the time the world's largest beaver dam. It was absolutely huge. I saw a picture of it online. It's a dam that stretches over a half a mile in length, and it contains thousands of trees. Well, after a little bit of research, it was believed that that dam was built by only two beaver families, and of course their offspring, obviously, which had begun their construction project about three decades ago. Just working and working and working. Night and day, the beavers labored until it was done. Diligence. There it is. Amen. Scientists tell us that they've discovered ant colonies that have stretched hundreds of miles. Imagine that. In order for honeybees to produce a pound of honey, they have to visit over 2 million flowers. That's a lot. Right. My point is this, as we look out at God's creation, it abounds with examples of the subject that we're dealing with tonight, and that is the subject of diligence. Amen. You look to these creatures, if you will, in God's creation, and what do we see? We see things, creatures, if you will, that are very, very diligent. Matter of fact, if you remember a few chapters back, God points us, men, to his own creation to teach us about diligence. In other words, we can learn from them. Right. You remember Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6? The Bible says, go to the ant. Imagine God is saying this. You want to learn something about life? Look at the ant. Amen. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, why does God have to do that to us? Why does he have to point to the ant? Why do we look at the beaver and we look at the honeybees? Why does God do these things, have to do it to us? Here's why. Because you find in our fallen nature, by the way, we are fallen beings. In our old nature, that old man Adam that's in all of us, there is a tendency for all of us to be lazy. To avoid work, to do the bare minimum to get by. Now, how many have a teenager in their home? That's all I'm going to say, all right? That can happen right in that stage, very much so. You see, the problem is this. Watch this. Now, even for adults, all ages, we're all fallen creatures. At least we have that nature in us. Here's the problem. Most people want to be successful. In other words, they'll say, yes, I want to be successful in my life. I want to have a successful marriage. I want to have a successful life. I want to have a successful ministry. I want to be blessed of God. I don't think there's anybody that wouldn't honestly say, yes, I want that. But we say that, but most, or many, should I say, do not want to do the things that God requires in order to get those things. To get his blessings. And one of those requirements, understand tonight, don't try to evade it this evening. One of the requirements of God's blessings and for us to be fruitful in our lives is this requirement of diligence. Diligence. Now, this attitude of what I call desiring the product without the process, that's how I like it. We want this product, but we don't want to do the process that God gives us. That attitude has gotten progressively worse over time, and I believe all of us would agree that it permeates our culture today. I want things, but I don't want to do the things to get those things. It's all around today. Recent article written by Stephen Raleigh for Personal Liberty Media Group, not a Christian group, not a Christian organization that I'm aware of. He wrote an article entitled this, Study: Today's Youth Are Lazy and Over-Entitled. Here's what he writes. He says, quote, a study published by Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin indicates that recent high school graduates place a higher value on wealth than before, but are less willing to work hard than previous generations. In other words, they desire wealth more, but they don't want to work hard, as I've been saying. A survey named Monitoring the Future, done by researchers Gene Twang and Tim Kasser, has tracked youth trends since 1976. That's a long time. And the researchers concluded the following. Listen to this. Quote, compared to previous generations, recent high school graduates are more likely to want lots of money and nice things, but less likely to say they're willing to work hard to earn them. The article goes on, while seeking financial success and home ownership is a popular idea among today's youth, working in order to do so isn't. 39% of recent graduate survey admitted that they didn't want to do anything that required hard work in their life. They wanted life to be easy, but they wanted all these things. By the way, it doesn't work that way. That's not God's way at all. That's not how God has designed life. And so notice in our text, we read in verse 24, we read, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." Can I ask you tonight, do you want God's blessings? I'd hold my hand up and say, amen, I do. If I ask you tonight, do you want godly success? I would hold my hand up and say, I do as well. Do you want to be productive in your life? Do you want to be productive in your God-given ministry in the church? Do you want to accomplish God's will? Then guess what is required?
Amen.
Diligence. Right. Diligence. So tonight I want to preach on this subject. Going to go rather quickly, I hope, through it. All God's people said amen right there. And that is the wisdom of being diligent. It is a wise thing to be diligent. Now, for some time, we've been looking at this series, Wisdom from Above, and I won't go through the whole thing, but I think you know the idea from James chapter 3. And the idea of the series is that every believer has basically, essentially, two philosophies or two foundations or two ways to live our lives by. We can either choose to live by the wisdom of this world, or we can choose to live by the wisdom of God. And again, those two are diametrically opposed. They're two totally different philosophies. One is rooted in the ideas of men and their thinking and their philosophies. The other is rooted in the wisdom of Almighty God, our omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient God. And you and I, in everything that we do in life, we have to choose which wisdom are we going to follow. Is it the wisdom of God or the wisdom of this world? And so tonight, let's go ahead and look at several things about God's wisdom concerning the subject of diligence. Notice, first of all, number one, would you write this down? The scriptural appeal to diligence. I'll say it again. The scriptural appeal to diligence. Now, it's interesting. How do I do these messages? I just read through Proverbs, and when there's a new topic there, I say, well, there's a new one. Let's go for it. Sometimes I don't know where the message is going to lead when I begin it. So I saw this word diligent, and I said, that's an interesting word. And so I said, let's go ahead and look it up. Talking to myself, I know I'm one person. Anyway, the word diligence and its forms are found in 61 verses in the Bible. So you'd find it in 38 verses in the Old Testament and 23 verses in the New Testament. You find its first mention. I always like to look at that when I study a word. Where is this word first mentioned in the Word of God? And we find it in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, where the Bible says, "And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right and in sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Notice he doesn't just say, if you'll hearken. He says, if you'll diligently hearken. More about that a little bit later. And then the last mention, if you want to look at the bookends of the word in the Bible, the last mention is in Jude, verse 3, where you know this verse. It's familiar. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So that's the first mention and the last mention. Now, the book of Proverbs talks about this subject in 11 verses, two of them in chapter 12, and I read them tonight. I won't read off all the verses. You can find those out yourself. So let's look at a couple things. When we talk about this scriptural appeal to diligence, let's talk about two things about diligence. Letter A, the definition of diligence. Need to know what the word means, of course. That would be helpful, I think. So what does it mean when we talk about being diligent? When God commands us, or he appeals to us to exercise diligence. What exactly does that mean? Well, Webster's 1828 dictionary defines it this way. Watch this. It means being constant in effort or exertion to accomplish whatever is undertaken. That's easy, right? Being constant in effort and exertion. Not temporary, not a little bit here, not sporadic. Constant in our effort, constant in our exertion to accomplish whatever it is we are undertaking as a task. Also goes on to say, exertion of the body or mind to complete a task without unnecessary delay or sloth. Now, we have a lot of character traits in our ACE school. Of course, it uses a lot of those things. And so we actually have the book at home. So I thought I'd look up the definition there. And it said this about diligence. It says, it is the dedicated fervency that God calls us to invest in each task that we perform. In other words, there's a task to perform. If we're going to be diligent about that task, it means we will have a fervency, a dedicated fervency to that task until it is complete. Now, I like the way one author put it. I think I wrote this down. Simply put, I really do like this definition. This author said this, diligence, watch this, is excellence over time. And not just being good for a moment here, then you sit back and you lay around and be lazy, and then all of a sudden you do great again, and then you're back here and you do lazy. No, it is a consistent, you're consistently being excellent, giving your most over time. So we would say that the opposite of diligence would be to be lazy. Or to be slothful, as our text puts it, to be careless, to be sloppy about what we do, sloppy about our lives, to be scattered, to be a time waster, to be unproductive. Those would be words that would be the opposite of diligence. So a diligent person, if you and I are going to be diligent, that means it's someone, we are people, that steadily and consistently work hard. We give our best to reach these, our God-given goals. We work hard to accomplish the work that God has given us to do. Now, it's interesting because I was looking up words, and Old Testament Hebrew words and all of that, but I'm not going to go through all of that, but I do want to say this, that one of the Old Testament Hebrew words for diligence is the word darash. I don't know if I said that right, but that's the way I look at it. D-A-R-S-H would be the English spelling of it. Now, watch what it means. It means to purposefully set on fire. And I thought, well, that's interesting, but I think I know what it means. It's a metaphor, to purposely set on fire. And I think what that means is that a diligent person will intentionally set a fire under himself to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. That's what it is. We're lighting a fire under us to get ourselves moving to do whatever it is God wants us to do. And we're hard at it. We're diligent. We're moving. we're pressing forward until it's done. And so that's the definition of diligence. Then notice letter B, God's desire for diligence. We're moving along nicely tonight. Now, it's God's desire for all of his children, all of us that know him as Savior, to be diligent people. Right. Now, that's very important to understand. You're in the ministry, you need to be diligent. You're going to the mission field, you need to be. No, all of us do. In everything that we do. More about that in a moment. Deuteronomy 4:9 says this, only take heed to thyself, watch this, and keep thy soul diligently. Amen. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Colossians 3:22. Although it doesn't use the word diligence, I think it sums up the principle of diligence. And I'm going to use this verse again a little bit. But Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, you get that? Anything that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So understand, God, He knows you. He sees you. He knows what you and I do every single day. He knows the things we're supposed to do, the things that He wants us to do, the things He's commanded us to do. And He is concerned that we are diligent in every area of our life. In everything you do, everything, God wants you to do your very best. He wants you to, and me to be our best. He wants us to give our all. He wants us to work hard. He wants to put us to put our whole heart into it so that you and I would reach our full potential for Him and produce the very best that we can for Him and for His glory. Now, I want you to consider these things, and I'm just throwing these out here. I'm not going to park on these, and I don't have them written down here, but if I were you, if I didn't have enough room on the sheet, I would have put these blanks here. But I want you to consider the seven general areas. I'm just going to read them off, maybe make a brief comment in some of them. Seven general areas, more specific ones later, of life, and ask yourself the question, am I being diligent in these areas? All right, number one is this, our spiritual life.
Amen.
We are to be diligent in our spiritual life,
Amen.
Our walk with God and all those things, right? Number two, again, I'm moving through them because I'm going to get into some details here in a little bit. My job, or if you're a student, your schoolwork, if you're a preacher or a missionary, your ministry, that's
Amen.
Number two.
Amen.
So am I being diligent in my spiritual life? Am I being diligent in, let's say, my life work for the time, whether it be a secular job or if you're in school or if you're in full-time ministry? Am I being diligent in that area? Number three is this, my finances. Got awful quiet there.
Amen.
Am I being diligent in my finances? Number four, it's going to get even more quiet here. I can feel it. I know because, my physical health. You know, what I do with my body as far as exercise and eating right and all of those things. Am I diligent about that? Number five is in my intellectual advancement.
Amen.
In other words, we don't just, I got my college degree, so I guess I'm done. Not if you're going to be diligent.
Amen.
You need to be moving forward and studying, maybe not necessarily working towards a degree, but always advancing intellectually, learning more, knowing more. It should never end.
Amen.
All right, number six is in my family life, spending time with my kids and my family and my grandkids and that sort of thing. And then number seven, in my social life. In other words, how I interact with other people, whether it be church members or friends or whatever that may be. And so those are seven general areas of life. I'll read them again because I saw some of you writing them down. My spiritual life, number two, my job or schoolwork or ministry. Number three, my finances. Number four, my physical health. Number five, my intellectual advancement. Number six, my family life. And number seven, my social life. Understand, God's interested in all of those. Every one of them. Not about you. When I read some of those, I'm already checking them off in my mind. I need work in that one. I need work in that one, you know. It's every area of life that we are to be diligent. The question is, are we? Are we?
Amen.
That's important.
Right?
That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be diligent in all that we do.
Amen.
So we see, number one, the scriptural appeal to diligence. Then number two, the essential ingredient for diligence. Okay, so you may say, I want to be diligent, but I just don't feel like it. Join the club. Well, something's got to change, right? Something's got to change. So Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Let me hold off on that, but you can look there. Now understand something. Okay, so when I look at these things, I think I want to be better.
Amen.
I want to be diligent. I want to be better organized. I'm going to be more productive. I'm going to give things all my heart. All of those areas of life, I need to be diligent in. And then I say, okay, how do I produce that in my life? How do I get the wanter going, you know?
Right.
Well, let me say this. This is kind of where the world and God's word definitely is opposite here, as in everything else. But being diligent is not the product of self-motivation. Some people say, "Well, you gotta motivate yourself. Yeah, you just gotta motivate yourself." Well, try that. I mean, what in the world is that? But that's what the world purports. You just need some self-motivation. But diligence is not the product of that. Right. By the way, diligence is not a gift. Well, God just hadn't given me that spiritual gift of diligence. It's not a gift. It's not a, watch this, it's not a personality trait. Well, I just want to stroll through life a little bit, a little slower than you do. It's not a personality trait. By the way, it's not something you're born with. It's not having a type A personality. It is a choice. It's a choice.
Right.
Now, you either choose to be diligent or you don't. Now, I'm not saying it's an easy choice. It's difficult. But you choose. And let me see if I can't reason this out with you. If God commands all of us to be diligent, then all of us must have the ability to be diligent.
Amen.
Doesn't that make sense? Right. How can he command it? Well, he didn't make me that way. Right. No, all of us can be diligent. Then why are some people diligent and some people not? Why can we be diligent in some areas and then we're not diligent in others? Well, here's why, I think. Because diligence, at least in part, is the product of an attitude. It is the product of a mindset. It is birthed from how you and I look at things. And I'm going to show you what I mean here. You see, the one ingredient that is essential to be a diligent person is this. It is the realization and the accepting of the fact that every task that you and I do, we are doing it as unto the Lord. There it is. It's when we truly get to the place where we believe that whether it be homework in school, or whether it be preparing a message or a Sunday school lesson, we are diligent when we have that mindset. We so easily forget it, do we not?
Right.
Because we get caught up in what we're doing. We say, I just got to get this thing done as quick as I can. And we miss this fact that this realization that everything that you and I do,
amen,
is to be done
right
as unto the Lord. We're doing it for him.
Amen.
Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
Amen.
Ephesians 6 and verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. You go to work and you serve in that place as unto Christ. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, I teach homiletics and I've done advanced homiletics courses and so forth. And it's a privilege to do that. I think there's a lot of guys who do it probably a lot better than me. But the point is this, is that one of the things I teach them is at the end, when you're totally done, as we go through developing an expository message, I say, okay, at the very end, here's what you do. When it's all printed out, ready to go, however it is, you offer it to as a sacrifice to God.
Amen.
That's what you do. You know what that does? It reminds us,
amen,
that this is as unto the Lord. I'm doing this,
amen,
for God.
The Lord.
I'm preaching for God tonight.
The Lord.
Not unto men.
Amen.
Now you ask preacher, you do that all the time? Well, to be honest with you, sometimes I forget. And that's the problem when you forget. And, oh God, I need you. Yeah, it's as unto him.
Right.
Why should you give your best in the workplace? Because you're doing it unto Christ.
Amen.
Why should you do your best in your ministry, whatever ministry you're in? More about that in a little bit. Because you're doing it as unto Christ. Why should I make sure my finances are in order? Because I'm doing it as unto Christ. Why should you and I take care of our health? Because we're living as unto the Lord. We're stewards of our bodies. Why should we give attention to our time and our family and people? Because that's what he wants. And we're doing it as unto him. It's not about what I want. It's about what he wants.
Right. Amen.
And I should be diligent in all of those areas. Listen, I understand we all have different God-given abilities. Not everybody has the same ability. We're all different. And we have different God-given opportunities. And we have different God-given gifts. But understand, with a little effort and a willingness to change, you can choose to be diligent. You can be the best you God made you to be. But it's going to take diligence. It's going to take diligence. And if I'm going to be diligent, I have to keep at the forefront of my mind that my life is unto Him.
Amen.
Everything I do. Right. And not unto me. So we see, number one, the scriptural appeal to diligence. Number two, the essential ingredient for diligence. Then number three, notice the specific areas of diligence. Now let's get a little bit more specific. I gave you those seven general areas. This could be really a series. It really could easily be a series. I was wondering when I first read it, I thought, I didn't know, am I going to get a message out of this? But the next thing you know, I'm looking at a possible series. I'm not going to do a series. But it's interesting that as you read about diligence in the Bible, you'll find that God denotes many specific areas in His Word where He commands us, make sure you're diligent in this area. There's a lot of them. You see, if you and I want to be the Christians that God saved us to be,
Amen.
Which means we produce the most fruit we possibly can with our lives for God. We reach our full potential for God, and we fulfill His will for our lives, then we must be diligent, and in these areas specifically that I'm talking about. Well, let's look at a few of them. I don't know how many I gave you. I think five. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and let's see some areas that God says we are to be diligent. Number one, or letter A, is this. We must be diligent, Deuteronomy chapter 6, in our obedience to God.
Amen.
Notice Deuteronomy 6:17. We read, ye shall, what's the next word? All right, I'm too fast for you. I'm sorry. I have it marked. You don't. All right, let's try it again. Ye shall, say it with me,
diligently.
Thank you. You're with me tonight, right?
Amen.
I know. It's quiet. That's all right. We'll get through it. Amen. Yes, notice, ye shall diligently do what? Keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes which He hath commanded thee. Why do we have to do that diligently? Because there's an old man, there's an old nature that is bent to do wrong.
Right.
And so you and I have to diligently obey His word. We have to make it a point to obey. You see, obedience to God is the key to the Christian life. It's not a big secret to live the Christian life. It's really simple.
Amen.
At least in theory.
Right.
He says it. We do it.
Amen.
Boom, there it is.
Amen.
It's that simple. But understand, Christians and churches all around us are dropping their standards. They're dropping their music standards. They're dropping their dress standards. They are setting aside their convictions about the King James Bible, about why we are Baptist, about the importance of church services and church attendance, the importance of preaching the word.
Amen.
But we should never ease up in those areas.
There
is never a time to ease up in obedience to God's word. Never. And there's never a time to slack off. There's never a time to get lazy in this area. No matter how many other believers, whatever they're doing, other believers or other churches are doing.
Right.
We have to be diligent.
Amen.
Listen, we're not supposed to gauge our church or our life about, well, they're doing it. And most of the people are doing it. Who cares?
Right. Amen.
I'm not going to be judged by what they're doing.
Right.
I'm going to be judged by this book,
Amen.
And so are you.
Right.
And therefore, we should guide ourselves by the Word of God.
Amen.
And we should be diligent. Look, if the Bible says it, we are to do it. Again, it's that simple. I understand America's changed. I'm living in the same country you are. I understand our culture has changed. But understand this, God's Word has not changed.
Praise the Lord.
Well, those old churches used to have the standards. Well, was it God's Word then?
Amen.
Then it's God's Word now.
Right.
It hasn't changed. And it's time to be diligent in the area of obedience to him.
Amen.
Joshua 22:5, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Don't you tell me you love God if you're not trying to obey his word. As Jesus said, if we love him, we'd keep his commandments.
Right.
That's the measure of love.
Right.
And we're to be diligent about it. Amen. So we see in our obedience to God. Then we see also, go over to a page over to the left, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Also, in our walk with God. It takes work to maintain a walk with God.
Amen.
It does. Deuteronomy 4:9. Notice the Bible says, maybe I should turn there. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul how?
Diligently.
Amen. I like what Proverbs 4:23 says. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Listen, it takes work. It's not easy. You and I have to make time to spend with God and spend in God's word and spend in prayer. Not just a few moments. If we want to be strong Christians, if we want to reach our full potential of God with God, for God, then we have to diligently guard our walk with him.
Amen.
And that's not easy to do in this busy world.
Right.
And then number three, here's another one. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, all in the same area here. Here's a third thing we need to be diligent about. Not only our obedience to God, our walk with God, but also teaching our children.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 6:6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Notice there's a diligence that has to be there. It's not supposed to be hit or miss. Family devotions are supposed to be consistent every day with your family. If you're going to be diligent about this thing, if you want the product to be kids that grow up to know the Lord and love the Lord, you as a parent have to do your part in teaching them the Word of God. It is your responsibility.
Amen.
The church helps, no doubt, and we have a teaching responsibility. But that's in addition to the home, not in place of the home.
Right.
And it must be done diligently. And there's another one. Letter D, write this down. There's another place. Go over to Luke chapter 15, all the way to the New Testament. And that is this, in going after souls.
Amen.
Well, we should see more people saved around here. Well, are you going after them? Are you trying? Are you handing out tracts? Are we being diligent about it? Well, I just saw we, you know, put a sign outside Capital Baptist Church and they'd all come flocking in. They don't do that. Notice Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. Excuse me. Either what woman, of course you know the parable here, the lost sheep, lost silver, but there's an application here. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek how?
Diligently.
How many ever lost something valuable? We all probably have, right? I told you the time that I was shoveling snow in Oxford. We got one of them snowstorms, and I didn't even realize it, but my wedding ring came off and it went into the pile of snow somewhere. And then a guy came and plowed the whole lot, and I didn't realize it till later. I was like, my ring, and I was like, wait a minute, I shoveled the snow. That's had to be where it came off, and they plowed the lot after I shoveled the snow. And I remember looking around, and finally, I don't know if it was a day or two after, but we found it in a pile, this big pile of snow. We're digging through there, and there's my wedding ring. Man, I'll tell you what, I was so happy. I was. That means a lot to me. It does, honey, it really does. No, it does. I mean, you know, it's emotional, it's sentimental. This is the wedding ring, you know. And so we were seeking diligently for it. That's the way we're supposed to be with souls.
Amen.
We're supposed to go out as a church. We are supposed to be diligent about this matter. This is profound. You ready? Listen up, perk your ears. No one wins a soul without going after a soul.
Right.
That was so deep, wasn't it? It's true. You can't win a soul if you don't go after them, if you don't talk to them about the Lord. It doesn't just happen. Hey, we have to be diligent about this thing. And we have that old nature that wants to be lazy and tired and doesn't want to do it. But we have to be diligent.
Amen.
And then the last one, number five, quickly, is our ministry. Our ministry, Acts 18:25. This man, talking about Apollos, was instructed in the way of the Lord. He had a preaching ministry. He was a preacher. And being fervent in the Spirit, notice, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. He didn't just teach them. He taught them diligently. Can I ask you something? Do you treat whatever, every one of us in here should have a ministry that, or more,
Amen,
that I'm a part of. We should. That's what part of being a church is. We're here to serve the Lord. And I probably think everybody does here. But I wonder, do you give your best to it?
Good.
Are you diligent in it? Well, it's just an usher. Don't say that.
Amen.
You're ushering as unto the Lord.
Amen.
You're the first face that people see. You're the first smile, hopefully, that people see.
Amen.
You're the greeter. Working the sound. I mean, you name it. Do you give your best? Do you give your best in the nursery, in the bus ministry, studying your Sunday school lesson?
Amen.
Do you give your best to that?
Amen.
Are you diligent about it? Preaching, teaching, whatever it may be, visiting your students, working that Sunday school class.
Amen.
God wants us to be diligent.
Amen.
I heard Dr. Clarence Sexton often say this, you reap a harvest where you place the emphasis.
Right.
And that's true. You absolutely do. So I ask you tonight, are you being diligent? Then number four, real quick, I'm just going to go through these quickly. The several adversaries of diligence. You say, well, I could do better.
Amen.
What are some enemies of diligence? If shouldn't it be like this, and I know it's not, but shouldn't it be, well, God says be diligent in these areas, so let's just go be diligent.
Right.
Well, guess what? You start to be diligent, you're going to be in a battle. Because you're fighting the flesh. You're fighting the old nature. You're fighting the world. You're fighting the devil.
Amen.
So real quick, what are some things that fight against you and me being diligent? Here they are, real quick. Letter A, write it down. Laziness. Proverbs 12:24, that is our text tonight. Notice the antithesis of diligence. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. You know, there's times, believe it or not, you say, you're the preacher, that's right. Well, I just don't feel like doing some things. You too. Stop polishing your halo tonight.
Right.
You just don't feel like it. You know you should do it. You know you're supposed to do it. You know you got to do it.
Right.
But you just don't feel like it. You don't feel like working. You don't feel like getting up. I know some people, I guess, we get up relatively, I think we get up early, very early, but, you know, some people jump out of the bed, woo, ready to go. Is that you? Is there anybody in there like that? My wife's probably kind of like that. But for others, for most of us, it's like, oh, 10 more minutes, 5 more minutes. You see, the diligent person doesn't operate by what he wants to do. He operates by what he ought to do.
Amen.
Laziness, understand, it's there. That's an enemy of diligence. You see, because when you get that mindset, I'm doing this as unto the Lord, and I want this product, I want a day where I accomplish things for God, and if I sleep half the day, that's not going to happen. So guess what? I got to get up and go. Let's go. Let's do it for God. So laziness, number two, real quick, procrastination. Yeah, I'll do it later. Uh-oh, I'm gonna hit a holy cow here.
Amen.
I'll start the diet tomorrow. I'll start exercising next week. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's too nice. I could be doing other things. We'll find a reason. I'll do it later. I missed my Bible reading today, or I didn't read as much, but I'll get it tomorrow, or I'll study tomorrow, or I'll study for my lesson. I'll start back up with visitation, you know, when it gets more convenient. Procrastination, an enemy of diligence. Letter C, write this down, distractions. Do you know that some of the, we have some great time wasters today? Hello. Distractions all around us. Welcome to America, the age of technology. And they're all around us. Things, what are some distractions that would take us away from doing the things we're supposed to do in all those areas of life, not just the ones I mentioned a moment ago, but those seven as well? What keeps us away? How about this? Hanging out on social media half the day. That'll do it. Constantly checking your Facebook and your Twitter and your Instagram and get a little laugh. Here's a, I don't even know what they call them. Are they called memes? That they are, somebody nod, memes, right? Yeah, those. I sent some to my son, or I got some from someone, and I forwarded. You say, here, I'm indicting myself. I am. But my son said something like this. Oh, Dad, you're starting to send memes, huh? And I said, I don't even know what a meme is. This was funny, I sent it. But anyway, that could be a distraction if you spend all day doing that. How about binge-watching TV? How about watching meaningless YouTube videos? How to build a guitar out of 200,000 pencils. Yeah, I'm going to watch that one.
That's cool, yeah.
Stop wasting your time. You're never going to build it. It's a waste of time. How about texting for no reason? By the way, group texts, those are my pet peeves, group texts. I do bling, 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 bling. Yeah, amen, bling, yeah, yeah, praise the Lord. I'm out of there, okay? If you don't hear back from me, it's nothing personal. I don't have time to bling, 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 bling and all that stuff. Yeah, amen, praise the Lord, 100 times. Why? Because it's a waste of time. Reading junk emails. Unsubscribe already. Stop subscribing all the junk. They're all distractions. You see, before you know it, you get caught up with that. You've wasted the morning.
Right.
Or half a day. And then you say, wow, I could have been doing so much more. Real quick, letter D. How about lame excuses?
Right.
The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. It's easy to find an excuse for something I don't want to do. Letter E. Here's another, adversary of diligence. Poor planning or prioritizing. Poor planning. Some people have mastered the art of looking busy and accomplishing nothing. They have. And the reason is this, poor planning. Don't major on the minors and minor on the majors. You're either going to tell your day what to do or wonder where your day went. Plan it out. Write a list every morning. Again, a failure to plan is a plan to fail. Have a plan. Have a schedule. Prioritize it. I know there's interruptions that come, and that happens. I get that. But make a plan. Make a schedule. Prioritize and stick to it. And the letter F, quickly, is difficulties or setbacks. You ever been going and you're diligent about something? Boy, and something happens, just lets the air out of your tires. I'll say it again, difficulties or setbacks. Like you're feeling real good, you got the exercise program going good, you're going three times a week, you know, then you come down with some sickness and you can't do anything for a week. What's the use? I won't just go through that. Don't let a difficulty or setback. Just get right back up there and do it again.
Amen.
You may have an emergency come up. You may have a bad day. It may be a bad day on the bus. It may be a bad day in the ministry. But don't let that difficulty or setback cause you to say, you know what, I'm tired. I'm not doing this anymore. No, the Bible says a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Watch out for adversaries to diligence. And then lastly, number five, we're done. I know, I told you it was a long one tonight. Number five, the scriptural assurance to the diligent.
Amen.
You know what God says? He says a lot of things, and we don't have time to get into all of them. But there are promises that God gives to the diligent person.
Amen.
He promises to bless you. Here they are, real quick. Number one, the diligent will get more accomplished for God. I found sometimes if, the ministry is different. It could, who knows what's going to happen in the day, you know? But you try to structure your days. My day determines what I'm going to do. And you have a plan and you have a direction. But I found if I don't have a plan,
right,
that you're trying to figure out what so much. You ever have so much to do that you don't do anything?
Right.
Because you're just like, right? And you end up just looking at the wall or something. When you're diligent, you get more accomplished for God. And then number two, you're greater blessed of God. Proverbs 10:4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Proverbs 11:27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. God will bless you if you work hard. That's what he does. He blesses hard work. He blesses diligence. And then also, number three, you will be used of God more than the one that is not diligent. You know who God picks to do more things? Those that are already faithfully doing those things that he wants them to do. Amen. Did you notice that when the angels came to the shepherds, they went to shepherds that were in the field working that night?
Right.
And they got to see or hear from the angels. Did you notice with Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13 that the people they picked out were the ones that were already busy for God? They were ministering in the church already. If you're diligent and I'm diligent, God's going to expand your ministry. He's going to give you more to do if you work hard because he wants to use you in a greater way. Proverbs 22:29, See a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. So we're done right there. And I want to ask you this. Are you a diligent person in all those areas of life? I'll tell you what the answer is probably for everyone else. No.
Amen.
No, I'm pretty good over here. And kind of lame over here. And I'm working on it over here. Why don't we look at that list of not just what God told us to do specifically, although that's important as well, as that general list in every area of our lives and say, how can I do better at what I'm doing? Not for the pat of men's applause or the pat on the back from men, but so I please my Lord.
Amen.
So I don't waste time. I don't scramble around life and not get things accomplished. Lord, help me to be diligent that I might bring more honor and glory.
Amen.
To thee. Amen.